All right. Well, this Saturday morning, April 20th, 2019, the Wives Power Call, also the Power Couple Call. We are excited today to have join us another one of God's power couples as they share what's been laid on their hearts. They are pastors of Restoration Place Church International in San Antonio, Texas. They are apostles as well. So help us welcome this morning Apostles Johnny and Tanya Foster.
Good morning.
Good morning, sis. Good morning, bro.
Good morning.
How's life in San Antonio?
Life is great.
Beautiful weather here.
Awesome. I heard you say it was a little warm down there.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, she called it great. I call it hot.
I love it.
Well, you should come up here to North Texas. We got about 45-degree temperature this morning. Got a cold front come through, so it's beautiful outside. Sunshine and no clouds.
Good. Yeah. But all right. Well, you all take it away.
Part of what we're going to discuss today is their book. So they have volume one of Marriage Unmasked, written, of course, by Apostles Johnny and Tanya Foster. And it's a great book with a wedding band on the cover and their handsome and beautiful faces on the rear cover. So it's a pleasure for you guys to join us and talk about marriage, which I know is dear to your heart. When I was on Facebook, I would log in every now and then and check you guys out. So I enjoyed your commentary on marriage, just keeping it real.
Absolutely. That's them.
Keeping it real.
Amen.
Amen. Just keeping it real. Yes. Apostle Johnny and I, we've been married for 23 years. It'll be 24 years. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Come on.
This year, it would be 24 years, and we're so excited. We are apostles here in San Antonio at Restoration Place Church International, located on Bandera Road, 6854 Bandera Road in Leon Valley. Mm-hmm. And so we're so excited about God, and we're excited about the kingdom.
Yes.
And we're mostly excited when God reveals to you, too, some of your assignment.
Yes.
We know that one of our assignment is marriage, unmasking marriages, marriage covenants,
yes,
and how to value marriage and what it means to God and what it means to honor God in our marriages. So we're so excited about Marriage Unmasked. It is our first book together. It's based on our, it's based on our Facebook Live series, where we like to keep it real about marriage. We always like to say it like that because we keep it real about marriage, but by saying things that you won't necessarily or you may not hear at all behind the pulpit. And so we just keep it real about marriage. And we say things that people would be like, oh, my, they said that? But I mean, we don't cuss or anything like that. No, but we keep it real about the importance of marriage as far as communication, as far as romance, and the reasons why different things happen within the marriage. I can say that we do have some videos that are out, but God led us to write Marriage Unmasked Volume 1. And it's, man, this book is a powerful book. It's an anointed book, and we just thank God for it. We were just like, okay, God, we will be obedient. But we have other videos out there. Even now we have recent videos out, but we like to talk about some of the chapters that are in this book. We have Why Did I Get Married? We have When She Talks Too Much, He Talks Too Little. We have I'm Married and My BFF Is the Opposite Sex. We have Two is Company and Three is a Crowd, Porn in Marriage. We have Love Should Have Brought You Home Last Night. And I know many can relate or know that title. I've heard that title before, which came from the movie Boomerang, from Eddie Murphy with Eddie Murphy and Halle Berry. It was called Love. It was called Boomerang. And one of the things she said in that movie was, "Love should have brought you home last night because he never came home." And we wanted the emphasis on that to be love. And then we also have intimacy after infidelity, and we have when spouses manipulate each other. And then, of course, we have some more recent videos also available on Facebook. But I'm telling you, you want to get the book because we go a lot more in depth, of course, in the book. Mm-hmm. Today, we thank you for this platform and this opportunity to you both. We thank you both, Minister Natasha and Minister we thank you Minister Thomas. Thank you, Minister Thomas, for allowing us this opportunity, allowing us this platform to talk about Marriage Unmasked in the kingdom.
You are more than welcome. You know, we had a small group that met in our home, and the kids would always call me Minister Natamas because they got used to saying Minister Natasha.
I almost said that.
We're as one. It's all good.
I'm securing my manhood. Go ahead.
I like that.
You like that, babe? Yeah. So we wanted to today we want to just talk about the importance of covenant marriages staying together. The importance of covenant marriages staying together because it's more than just marriage. It's an assignment. It's covenant. It's not a contract. It's a covenant. Okay. So I'm going to let my husband talk now, where he can talk about marriage and what it's supposed to be for. Amen. And then we're going to touch a lot on some of the things within the book.
Amen. Praise God. Good morning, each and every one of you. Amen. It's truly a blessing. Amen. You know, she said the topic of as far as when he speaks too little and she speaks too much and stuff. But it's pretty interesting and stuff. You know, I like to let her talk a lot of times, but then she gives it to me, and then, you know, we do what God has called us to do. Amen. So I just want to once again to say, you know, that what we do is Marriage Unmasked, and what it is, it's the unmasking of the marriage, because a lot of times what we see is people sit there and they put out the marriages and stuff, and everybody always gets to see the surface things, but nobody really gets to deal with the issues that are the underlying issues.
Amen.
Of marriage.
Amen.
And that's what we want to sit there and we unmask what marriage really is. We sit there and we expose things, and not to expose it to say, well, no, marriage ain't. No, what we do is we expose it to show that, you know what, people do suffer in marriage. There are things that are going on in marriages that, you know what, people are dealing with, and that when we come to the pulpits, a lot of times we don't sit there and we don't address these things. You know, a lot of things are too taboo to talk across the pulpit. It's like, oh, it's what we put out there and stuff. So people are going home.
Amen.
Suffering.
Amen.
But the thing of it is we bring, with this forum, we utilize it to talk about things, like I said, that don't get talked about. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we're talking about covenant and marriage and stuff. I like to always start with the beginning. Amen. Adam and Eve, amen, were God today, and he formed the man, of course, from the ground. Amen. He breathed life into him. He took the man. He put him into the field. He gave the man a job and everything. The man was naming all the animals and stuff. And then God looked at it because all the animals had another of its type. They were male and female created and stuff, so that God said and set them out there, amen, that they had an ability to multiply. Now, the thing was with man is God said and looked upon man, and he would say, whoa, 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 whoa. Now, everything else has the ability to multiply, but man does not have the ability to multiply yet.
Amen.
Notice I said yet, because in the beginning, if you read the Bible, it does say God created a male and female. The difference was God just hadn't separated the female part of the man yet. Amen. So, of course, God did what? He separated the man, put him into a deep sleep, took the woman out from the side, amen, to let us know something right there in and of itself, amen, that what God was taking from the side, that she would also be reattached to him at the side. A lot of times what we do in relationships and stuff is we become so male dominant, amen, that we don't give the female her proper place, which is at our side, amen, because if they're at my side, that means when I step, she steps. When I elevate, she elevates.
Right.
That way I don't take and put her in a place where she is inferior, amen, to me.
Amen.
Amen. So what it is so God then brought her, took the woman from the side, amen, formed the woman, amen. He brought the woman to the man, amen. And the man then said, that's woman. In other words, really what he was saying is like, it was like, whoa, man. So, you know, it was kind of a thing that, you know, he was like, man, you got something just for me. You know, he was checking her out and everything. He was like, wow, she's got it going on and everything. You know, so God, Adam was praising and sitting there saying that God done brought me my good thing. Matter of fact, he'd have bought me my great thing.
Yeah,
amen, praise God. But the point is this and stuff. So God brought them together and stuff. What God was doing was instituting a covenant between the man and the woman, because as you read a little bit later on and stuff, you come to find out God said that this is the reason that a man will leave his mother's and father's home, that he will cleave to his wife, and they will become one flesh. In other words, what God was saying is from the very beginning, when it came to a man and a woman, when it came to the relationship, when it came to the marriage, God was creating a covenant between them. An inseparable covenant is what God was creating. A covenant that it would be between them, and God would be the glue to seal that thing together.
That's true.
So God said that, and this is what he did. So he brought them together, amen? And now we can kind of fast forward in time and stuff, amen? Because nowadays what we have a lot of times in the relationship is the covenant really doesn't mean anything, because we don't treat it as a covenant anymore, but a lot of times we treat it as a contract. It's like a contractual obligation. And one thing I've noticed with contracts is this. What we tend to do with a contract, when a contract don't really suit our needs anymore, we'll void the contract or we'll break the contract because we're not too concerned about the consequences. We're not concerned one bit about the consequences, amen? But see, covenant is a little bit different, because when you break covenant with the spouse, you don't break covenant just with the spouse. You break covenant with God, because covenant is something that is instituted by God himself.
That's good.
So when you come into a covenant, you're coming into an agreement, not just before man, but you're coming into an agreement before God. And what you're saying to God is, God, I'm making this vow. I'm making this covenant. I'm coming into this thing, God, that nothing should separate it, Lord God, that nothing should be able to come in between, Lord God. Nothing should be able to sit there and cause me, Lord God, to wander off from it, Lord God, to leave it, Lord God, to separate from it, God, because it is a thing, Lord God, that is bound, Lord God. We are one. Think of it this way. When you say we're one, think of it this way. If you're trying to sit there and go two places at the same time, that you're trying to go two places at the same exact time. In other words, one half of your body wants to go to New York, while the other half of your body is trying to go to California at the same exact time. Impossible. And that is the way it should be with marriage. It should be a thing where, you know what, my concern should be for what? The other part of my body. Well, my other part of my body wants to do something, and this part wants to do one thing. Well, then I need to come into a compromisable position so that we both can sit there and do what, go to one place, and guess what? It is something that will satisfy us both.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We're just getting started.
Yeah, we're just getting started. So, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so God is so good. So we understand that it's covenant. Marriage is covenant and not a contract. Amen. And so nowadays you have people who divorce because of irreconcilable differences.
Oh,
you have
God.
People, who, yes, I mean, especially in the celebrity world. And many times this is what people are getting their examples from instead of the written word, the written read. And so they go with what they see the world is doing, and believers would try to emulate that, which all marriage that is God covenant, that is God ordained, is supposed to be emulated as God has created it to be, according to the word of God and what he started from the beginning. The marriage was the beginning. And so people need to understand that. Now, we're talking about marriage. We wanted to go in also to just to talk about some of the things. And one of the major things in marriage is usually that we, because we do a lot of counseling. And a lot of the counseling sessions that we have, we deal with couples who normally have issues with pornography, or they have issues with infidelity in marriage, and then how to master intimacy after infidelity. And these are usually the things that we are counseling people for. But today we want to talk a little bit about love should have brought you home last night. Okay, so love should have brought you home last night. Which is infidelity in marriage. And normally when there's infidelity in marriage, and, you know, we just want to talk about, you know, the word of God, we want to get to the root of the matter. A lot of times when there's infidelity in marriage, sometimes it's things that have already been rooted in the heart of that individual that has not yet been dealt with And sometimes it's because of their examples growing up. Uh-oh. The father was a Rolling Stone. Y'all heard that song, you know. Papa was a Rolling Stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. That's their example, you know. And so this is who we emulate. That's our hero. This is what we see, for example, for a man. This is what we see that a man is supposed to do. This is how we're supposed to operate as men. As women, the mother brought in many men into the home. So this is what they emulate. They see mom with different boyfriends coming in and out the home, then they become promiscuous, or they begin to live a life that's not edifying to God. And so you're dealing with things like that, things that have been rooted. Remember, we were born into sin when we entered into the world, and so now we're dealing with issues, generational issues, where there was adultery issues from mama, grandma, great-grandma, great-grandfather, and things like that. So now you're dealing with things within the bloodline that have not been dealt with. And someone has to say the book stops here. And so you're dealing with that kind of stuff. And so when you so with infidelity and marriage, you know, and this is my thing because, you know, I, this is like a marriage unmasked. Us talking right now and talking about this, my husband and I, for us, it reminds us of our marriage unmasked series because, let me tell you, we're just going to keep it real. A lot of times we see men and when they, you know, they have a wandering eye. That's usually how it starts, a wandering eye. I love what my husband says. He says, it's not what flies past our head or what goes past us. It's what we think about or ponder as those things go by or even let linger in our nest. What was that saying you said?
It's not what flies over the nest that causes us the problems. It's what we allow to roost in the nest.
Amen. That's it. It's what we allow to roost in the nest. That's what becomes the problem. It starts with a thought.
Oh, yeah.
And the problem is people don't know how to bring those thoughts under subjection by casting down those thoughts, bringing them down. And you know, the word talks about cast those imaginations down. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the mind of Christ. What am I talking about? Look, I'm all over the place here now. Casting down vain imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So here it is, you know, people need to know how to cast down those thoughts, not to entertain those thoughts, and think on what? The Word of God. You bring the Word to mind. Roll over the Word of God in your mind. Meditate on the Word of God. And because let me tell you, we're living in a time right now where there are a lot of fake booties. Come on now. Some breast implants and people walking around very much so seductive. And nowadays you can't even, you know, women can't just be concerned about just the women that their spouse may be looking at, or I'm talking from a woman's perspective here. But they got to also watch that the men, you know, because now you're dealing with also homosexuality and again, vice versa, lesbianism. So you're dealing with those spirits. And what it does, it can open the door in the heart for perversion to creep in.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that people don't understand. You got to value what you have. You know what I'm saying? I know in our book we made a description of, you know, it's always nice to drive a new car. Hello. It's also very expensive to drive a new car. You better keep what you got. It's cheaper to keep her. Amen. And so, you know, you have to be able to value what you have. And I love, you know, again, how my husband talked about covenant and especially it being from the beginning and how God created it to be so. My husband has something to say. Go ahead, baby.
Amen. You know, I would like to my little saying I like to use and stuff that I just express. Amen. The thing of it is a lot of times we see things, and guess what? God made us the way we are.
That's right.
So let's not get that twisted or mixed up. Amen. We see things a lot of times. We were talking about the wandering eye, how things are passed down generational, and some of the examples that are set before us and stuff. Well, we see things. The thing of it is that our mind is like a computer where it records things. Amen. So what happens is there are things that we see with our natural eyes. And a lot of times what we'll do is we'll start condemning ourselves automatically because we saw something that we think we shouldn't have saw. But guess what? You're going to see things. That's what I mean by that. That's why I say you can't control what flies over. You can't control what flies over because you're in the world. That's what that means. Since you're in this world, that's because we don't operate of the principles of this because we are God's children, amen, and we are Christians, so we should be Christ-like, amen. We are believers, amen. So what we do is we operate according to God's law, God's principles, God's standards, God's precepts, amen. But the thing of it is we're in the world. Since we're in the world, we're going to see things of the world. We're going to see things that, guess what, does not align with the Word of God.
Right.
So, yes, you're going to see things, but the key to it is this. You don't allow the thing to stay in your mind. You don't allow the thing to be recorded to a degree where you're going back and you're repeating and playing it over and over again. I like to use this for men, okay? I like the movie The Matrix. I mean, it was a scene in The Matrix, amen, where you had Neo going, and he was walking with Morpheus, and they were talking and everything, and they were walking. Everybody was in a black suit. Everybody's passing by black suit, black suit, black suit, black suit. Everything looks the same. So you know what? You really don't take a focus into anything because everything looks the same. But then all of a sudden, there's this woman in a red dress. And then his attention went to the woman in the red dress. She caught his eye. So what happened? The next thing was, okay, my attention getter. I was captivated by something. So now I take and my focus went onto that. And when his focus went onto the woman and he became distracted by the woman, in other words, he allowed it not to fly across his head, but he allowed it to take to bury itself in the nest. He allowed it to get into the nest. What happened is once he took his focus off and he allowed it to stay in the nest, when he turned his head, boom, there was an agent there with a gun right at his head. My point exactly in how it works as far as the spirit is concerned. You know, we don't allow those things to sit up in our minds. We don't allow those things to enter in because once we open ourselves up to it, it becomes a distractor to us. And what it does, it will cause us now to play those things into our minds. And as we play it in our minds, guess what it does? It filters into our heart. The Bible tells us that the heart is deceitfully wicked. The heart will fool you into things. The heart will make you think things. I hear people all the time say, I'm married, but I really don't love my wife. Or you know what? I don't understand why I got married. I think I married the wrong person. You know why they think that way? They think that way because that's what's in their minds, which they have played it into their hearts. They've allowed things to sit there and roost into their minds, the things that should have went across, amen? Because guess what? Like I said, we see things. God gave us an ability to attract one to another. Amen? God gave us the ability to attract one to another. Amen. So we have these desires on the inside, which are not evil, but it is what we do with those desires. It's how we take the desire that God has given us and how we turn and twist it and utilize it for our own perversions, our own self-gratification, our own self-influence, whatever it is that we want our self-value. We allow pride to come in, and what we do is we think that we should chase after something because it looks good to us. And in the turn, what we're doing is we're violating covenant that we have come into agreement with our spouse as well as with God.
Come on now. Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. As y'all see, this is marriage unmasked for real. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So those rooted issues, and like he said, that was good. That's the issue. Things, people acting on it. And that's why we have to pay attention because of those things. We got to be careful that we don't allow things to enter into our hearts because then if it enters into our heart, we're going to want to act on it. And that's what the issue is. So, you know, I told you.
We don't have as much control of the flesh as we think we do.
Exactly.
That's what the problem is.
Exactly. That wouldn't be one of the fruit if it wasn't the truth, self-control. Amen.
We get deep about things and not realizing our flesh is a little bit stronger than we think it is.
Amen. That's it. David had to say, God created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me, but restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And that's in Psalm 51. And so here it is. You know, we have to ask God to wash our heart, cleanse our hearts. But what the key thing is what you said. There is no condemnation. Don't be condemned just because you see something.
Yeah.
but just it's what you do after you see it. Amen. That's it. That's it. So when a thought comes, just kill that seed immediately. Kill the seed because it's a seed that's been implanted or imparted. Just kill the seed at the root before it even come into fruition. Amen?
Actually, I'll be doing one better than that. Because the one thing about a seed is a dead seed does what? That's when it starts to grow. You don't just kill the seed. You got to uproot that seed.
Yeah, amen.
Dig that thing up.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And so here we are. So we're talking about infidelity in marriages. So that's one of the things. Now, this is my thing because, you know, this was my issue. And a lot of times when the men cheat on these women, they don't even be cute. I mean, I'm like, what in the world? They don't even be cute. I know. But, this is what I've seen, okay, with my eyes. But they don't even be cute. But even still, it's not about that. It's because there's something lacking in the relationship. There is something lacking in a relationship, which is pulling them or drawing them away. Something caught their attention. My thing is, look, the same way you got a man, the same way you got him, that's the same way that you're going to keep him. You don't just stop. Look, too many women let themselves go, because I'm coming from a woman's perspective. Too many women let themselves go. You know, they're wearing muumuus. They're wearing bonnets on their heads. They don't wear makeup anymore. They done gained about 100, 200 pounds. And they're like, oh, well, he just loves me like this. But no. He liked you. He loved you from the beginning because you were confident. Now you got low self-esteem. Come on. You know, so you want to be able to keep that marriage fresh. You want to keep it full of joy. Yeah. And you want it to be full of God's love. You want it to be just nice, romantic, fresh. Amen. But anyway, so we're talking about infidelity in marriage. And we're just telling you again some of the things that happens and how that door opens, because it's an open door. So things like that, not keeping yourself up, not taking care of yourself. Sometimes it's just that, again, we said rooted issues, generational, ancestral, things like that that haven't been dealt with. And then sometimes it's because they open the door to pornography, too. Pornography has been an open door to people. People invited into their bedrooms. They invited into their bedrooms, which then there's things that come in. And people don't understand perversion. Even when that door opens, especially when you're watching pornography, those spirits, those demonic spirits, and they do have more than just succubus and incubus. There are other demonic names. They come out through the television. Hello. The enemy is very smart and cunning. People don't give him much credit, but they should understand he's slick, and so those spirits can come in through the TV, and they will join you in your marriage, in your marriage bed.
It's interesting that, you know, God just dropped it in my spirit, amen, that, you know, we look at in the beginning how the enemy came, but he was in the form of the serpent. He came as the serpent, amen. But you got to understand the whole point behind that was because what he was doing, he was taking on the characteristics of the serpent. Amen. Those characteristics resided within him. Amen. So they fit him perfectly. They fit him comfortably. So that's the reason why things happen a lot of times. The enemy likes to come in sneaky, cunningly. Amen. In other words, it seems like something that's harmless. Oh, well, we're looking at porn together. But so it's okay. But what happens is it starts to taint. It taints what's on the inside. So now it has you start. It'll have you to act out these things. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. Watch this. You start to act out things, or you see things in porn, and what happens is, well, you get this feeling that you want to try something you saw, but your spouse ain't down with it.
Facts.
But the problem is, it is embedded on the inside of you, and here's what it does. It starts to burn at you, and when that thing starts to burn at you, you want to act it out.
Come on.
You want to fulfill that thing. Why? Because now it's become a lust on the inside.
Come on.
It is a thing. It is a craving that has to be satisfied. So in order for you to satisfy that thing, you need to find somebody that's willing to give in to your desires, your lust. Amen.
And the thing of it is, you're just trying to get a hold of something that you sit there and watch, and now you want to emulate because it was something that appealed to your flesh.
Come on now. Come on now. And let me tell you, because, you know, again, because, you know, we like to keep it real, you know, but as far as marriage unmasked. And, you know, look, I am not one for you to put devices in my butthole. Can we just be real here? We're just keeping it real about marriage, okay? So this is us. So if people say, wow, I can't believe she said that. Yeah, yes, because this we talk about things that people are not going to tell you or discuss behind the pulpit. We want people truly free.
Yes, and the problem
amen?
Is, that's right. And you're right, baby, because the problem is a lot of times what happens, things are going on in relationships, and people sitting there like, look, I don't have an avenue to go to. Why? Because nobody's talking about these things, and these things are happening in my relationship.
That's
these
right.
These things are being desired in my relationship, and we're not touching on them.
That's right.
We can't always keep marriage nice and pretty and neat and stuff when people are out here, and you know, things are happening to kids, and things are going on in the church, amen, but we're not talking about it.
Exactly, exactly. And so all that is discussed in the book. And then also, too, so I wanted to touch a little bit about that. Actually, we just touched on a few of those chapters. And then also, too, we have intimacy after infidelity, yeah. Intimacy. And so now here we are counseling many people who have issues with intimacy after an affair. Oh, my goodness. And now you got to get to that point where you're trying to build your relationship back in. Because a lot of times when people cheat, sometimes, you know, the one that they cheated on are like, man, I want my marriage to work. I'm fighting for my marriage. But it's the one that cheated that usually has the issues of, man, I don't even know if I want to be with my wife anymore or with my husband anymore. I'm really digging the person I'm having. If I'm having fun. And so you deal with that kind of stuff. But then there comes a point where they're like, you know what? I'm not trying to start over. This person knows me. They know what I've been through. They know my heart. They know my ups. They know my downs. And I got to start all over and train, or you know how they say train them up, to submit myself to someone who don't know me like that. I got to start all over again. I'm not willing to do that. And so they're now willing to say, I'm going to work on my marriage. I'm going to work on my marriage. Now, the problem I have is the person who normally cheats is the person that says, I mean, get over it. They need to get over it. I'm tired of this. They drilling me. They asking me 50-11 questions. They're putting the GPS on me and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, they got to build the trust issue back up and within that marriage. I got to learn to trust you again. I got to learn to be able to say, man, I got to fall in love with you again. We got to start all over again as far as what I got to get back to the place of what happened and how did the enemy creep in. And let me tell you, nowadays, these men and these women out here on these streets, they don't care that you're married. They don't care that you have a ring on your finger. All they see is a man. They see that he got it going on. I'm talking from a woman's perspective. You know, they see the man. They see that he got it going on, and they're like, ooh, bullseye, I want that one. And so you got to keep a guard. You got to keep a prayer shield all around your marriage. You're going to have to say, God, in the name of Jesus, send forth your warring and ministering angels to guard my marriage. Guard my marriage in the name of Jesus. And so a lot of times people are not understanding that it's important to do that, to pray and pray over your marriage. We pray, my husband and I, we pray every morning together. If he has to be at work early in the morning and get on the road at 5 in the morning, we're on the phone praying. People have to understand the power of prayer between a covenant relation in a covenant relationship that God has established. It's powerful. And so if people could understand that part, but my husband, it seems like I think he got something else to say.
Amen. Oh, I probably should have gave my little disclaimer and stuff. I yell sometimes. I don't know why. It just comes out of me sometimes. But you know what? To God be the glory. Amen. I think it's just a passion I have a lot of times. Amen. But what I want to add and stuff, you were talking and saying, you know, how when they try to come back and stuff, the attitude that the person that cheated has, but also sometimes the person that cheated will come back and they'll be in a repentant state. But the person that they cheated on sometimes, they have the attitude, which in a sense, guess what? I can understand their pain. I can understand their torment. I can understand how they feel because they're still dealing with shame, embarrassment, and all these other things. Amen. They ain't so easily ready just to let you back in, although they want to, but they're not always necessarily ready because they want to make sure you take the necessary steps and that the necessary precautions are set that, guess what, we will not find ourselves in this situation or this place again. You know what? Because guess what? They got to sit there and hear their friends and everybody else that's talking behind their back because that's what normally happens. This is the thing that normally messes relationships up because everybody else got an input on your relationship. Intimacy after infidelity, it is a hard thing, especially when it's been exposed. When it has been exposed and other people know about it. Why? Because everybody got an opinion on what you should do.
Amen.
Everybody has an opinion on what you should do.
Amen, amen. And so that's what was on our heart. That's what we wanted to share with you all this morning. If you haven't already, Marriage Unmasked, I'm telling you, it's a powerful book. And this, we understand marriage takes work.
Yes.
It's an attitude of assurance that the gates of hell will not prevail.
Amen.
And through the spirit of agreement, you will always win. And so this, we are unmasking marriage, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Amen. And we just turn this back on to you, Minister Natasha.
Amen.
And Minister Thomas.
Amen. Powerful.
Amen.
We do have two copies of your book in our home because we do a his and hers when we read together.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Awesome.
One of the things I wanted to just remind you guys mentioned the scripture that I just want to read. I think it's fitting to cover before we open up for questions and answers, if you all are open mm-hmm. to that, Apostle John and Tanya.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Ephesians 4, 2, and 3, you all referenced this, and I think it's just powerful in its own right. It says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I believe that's the key, that unification in the covenant marriage. And that's what we should be striving for and should be the focus. And that's where the power is, because where we take our focus in, that's where our power is to be able to overcome and do all things. But again, being led of the Holy Spirit. But I love that reference that you all have in that chapter.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think the key phrase in that is the unity of the Spirit mm-hmm. and the bond of peace.
Yeah.
One of the things that you have to do is ensure there's peace in your house no matter what. And that unity, Psalm 133, I love that scripture, says where there's unity, God commands his blessings. If you're walking in the Spirit of God, you're going to get blessed.
Amen.
Come on, man.
Amen.
That's right. Especially the marriage, because that's the first institution, that's the first thing that God instituted with man was his marriage.
Amen.
He did marriage before church.
This is powerful. Yet I always share, I say, when God created the heavens and the earth, Satan was available, but he never said a word. He created animals, he created the trees, the stars, the moon, all the plants, never said a word. But when he brought woman to man, Satan showed up and said, I got to bust that up.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and stop the recording, and I want to open up the lines so everyone will hear a recording that the line has been unmuted. If you would like to, go ahead and keep your lines muted, but if you'd like to ask a question to Apostle Johnny or Tanya, feel free. It's open forum, and we have some questions that we've kind of taken
out notes
throughout. We'll hold off, but definitely feel free to chime in. So I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording, Apostles. Hold on just one second.